Heralds of Hope Incorporated presents Hope for Today.
Hello, friend. I'm J. Mark Horst, your host, and I welcome you to Hope for Today. The program you're listening to is produced by Heralds of Hope. We're an international gospel media ministry. Each week, our Bible teaching broadcasts circle the globe in English and 22 other major languages, and tens of thousands of people tune in each week for spiritual nourishment and blessing. And we're glad you've joined us today. But radio ministry is just one part of what we do here at Heralds of Hope. We also distribute Bibles and literature. And our newest publication is called Hope Herald. It's a study guide that's designed to complement the teaching that you're going to hear on this broadcast. We would be happy to send a copy of this study guide to you if you just write and ask for it. So stay tuned, and I will give you the contact information at the end of this program. Now, if you listen to this program regularly, I'm alerting you to expect some changes to our programming in the next several weeks. At Heralds of Hope, we are a growing and a changing ministry. We are expanding our audience, we're adding new personnel, and we're updating our content. Eventually, you will hear a new musical introduction to the program, as well as some other changes. But one thing that won't change is our commitment to teaching God's Word. On today's broadcast of Hope for Today, we're continuing our study in the Gospel of John. So I urge you to stay tuned, because in just a few moments, Dr. Yoder will present today's teaching, Facing the Facts.
God wants us to rejoice in Him. One of the writers of the Psalms urged us to praise the Lord like this. Let all the people praise Thee, O God. Let all the people praise Thee. Oh, let the nations be glad and sing for joy. Do you know that kind of joy? God intends for you to be joyful, but that is possible only when you know Him as a personal God, your personal God. That is one of the basic facts of life. It is right that we demand to have the facts in hand. It is also right that we sort out what is only reports. We must be careful to make certain not to call facts mere reports, and not to call mere reports the facts. And when we have brought out the facts, we must then face them with honesty and not try to avoid them. It is also important that we go to the right source in our search for the facts. Especially is this true for the facts about Jesus Christ. Now let's read our scripture text, John 11, 47 to 57. Then the chief priests and Pharisees gathered a council and said, "What can we do? For this man does many miracles. If we let him alone this way, all men will believe on him, and the Romans will come and take away both our place and nation." And one of them, Caiaphas, being the high priest that same year, said to them, "You do not know anything at all, nor do you consider that it is expedient for us that one man should die for the people, and not that the whole nation should perish." And he did not speak this of himself, but being high priest that year, he prophesied that Jesus should die for the nation, and not for that nation only, but also that he should gather together in one the children of God who were scattered abroad. Then from that day forth they took counsel together in order to put him to death. Therefore Jesus walked no more openly among the Jews, but he went away from there to a country near the wilderness, into a city called Ephraim, and there continued with his disciples. And the Jews' Passover was near at hand, and many went out of the country up to Jerusalem before the Passover, in order to purify themselves. Then they sought for Jesus and spoke among themselves as they stood in the temple. What do you think? That he will not come to the feast? Now both the chief priests and the Pharisees had given a commandment that if any man knew where he was, he should make it known, so they might take him. Jesus of Nazareth is a different person. As we face the facts of his life, we must analyze with care these several considerations. First, the evidence of his miracles. Consider the evidence of his miracles. When they gathered together in that council, they consented to the fact that he did perform miracles. Now, these are not his friends. No, these are his opponents. And they admitted that Jesus did many miracles. They were, in fact, greatly concerned about it because they said, if we let things go, all men will believe on him. He will have a great following, and then the Romans will come and destroy us. Now take it from those who lived when he did. They said, he performs many miracles. Someone has counted them in the gospel record and has recorded that 38 miracles were performed by Jesus. He did many miracles, and you must consider the evidence of his miracles. A second consideration is the purpose of his mission. Jesus was not merely a worker of miracles, and even Caiaphas the high priest understood that. No, he really didn't understand it, but he spoke it. We are told in our scripture text that Caiaphas prophesied, being high priest that year, he spoke more than he knew when he said, "It is expedient for us that one man should die for the nation, and that the whole nation perish not." He was expressing in these words a great biblical truth already prophesied by Isaiah the prophet in the 53rd chapter of his book. One would be sacrificed for the people. The prophecy that Caiaphas the high priest spoke unknowingly predicted how Jesus should die. Our scripture text says it that way, that not only would he die for that nation, but also that he would gather together in one all the children of God who are scattered abroad. I am really thankful for that, my dear friend, because that includes me and you. Now consider the purpose of his mission. He came for that express reason, not merely as a worker of miracles, but that he would die for the nation and for all who are the people of God everywhere scattered abroad. Now take it from this Caiaphas the high priest. He predicted that one man should die for the nation. And there's a third consideration. Consider the restraint of his movements. When Jesus understood this, he retired to a remote place. We are told that he withdrew to the wilderness into a city called Ephraim. There he taught his disciples, away from all the rest, so that he would not be distressed or disturbed. I get the impression that Jesus had a sense of timing, so he operated that way. His movements were restrained so that the outcome would be exactly what the Heavenly Father had determined. Now when the others came to the Passover early in order to purify themselves for the Passover, they talked among themselves and said, "Will he come to the feast?" He was a subject of their conversation, and the Pharisees had told them that anyone who knew his whereabouts could reveal him so they could take him. But Jesus understood this, And he walked and directed his movements in such a manner that he was not taken before the time. Take it from the situation. He knew what was coming. In facing the facts of Jesus' life, you must consider the evidence of his miracles. Those who lived then admitted his miracles. You must consider the purpose of his mission. The high priest prophesied it. You must consider the restraint of his movements, because Jesus knew what was coming. These are compelling considerations, and now the decision is up to you. Believe on him, as many did when he lived. Eternal God, our Heavenly Father, we again thank thee in the precious name of Jesus that we have this opportunity to share together in these moments of fellowship in the Holy Bible and the experience of Jesus, how he claims our faith. And I ask, dear Lord, that my friend may exercise that faith in Jesus, our only Savior. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
My friend, do you know the facts about Jesus? Yes, he was a miracle worker, but you know that wasn't his primary purpose for coming. No, his primary purpose for coming to earth was twofold. First of all, to show us what God is like, and then secondly, to give his life as a sacrifice so that you and I could be forgiven of our sin. Now, if you were blessed by this teaching and would like an audio CD or a printed copy of it, just write and ask for the teaching, Facing the Facts. We would be happy to send a copy to you as soon as we receive your request. Now, the easiest way for you to contact us is to use our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org, or call us toll-free at 877-792-7275. Or you may mail your request to Hope for Today, Box 700, Milverton, Ontario, N0K1M0. Remember, you can request a printed manuscript or an audio CD of this teaching, Facing the Facts. We'd be happy to send one to you. And when you contact us, you can also request our newest publication, Hope Herald. It's a study guide that follows these radio programs, and it will help you to learn more about what we are studying from John's Gospel. So ask for your free copy of the Hope Herald today. Now here's that contact information again. You may send your request to our email address, hope@heraldsofhope.org. By mail, Hope for Today, Box 700, Milverton, Ontario, N0K1M0. Remember, you can request a free copy of this teaching, Facing the Facts. It's available in print or on an audio CD. And you can also request a free copy of our newest publication, Hope Herald. It will help you gain more value from this study in John's Gospel. And don't forget about the changes that are coming to our programming in the next several weeks. At Heralds of Hope, we are a growing and changing ministry. We're expanding our audience, we're adding new personnel, and we're updating our content. Eventually, you'll hear a new musical introduction to the program, as well as some other changes. But one thing that won't change is our commitment to teaching God's Word. Now, friend, I urge you to tune in next week as Dr. Yoder continues our study from John's Gospel with an important message titled, Jesus and True Love. And until then, keep looking for that blessed hope.